Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer günstig und natürlich mit dem Aldi-Tiefpreisversprechen. Zum Beispiel knackiges Gemüse, saftiges Obst, frische Backwaren. Kurz gesagt, mehr Frische für alle. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote zum Tiefpreis in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Everybody want to know what I would do if I didn't win. I guess we'll never know.
So keep it locked. I don't get enough of it. Jesus just rose again.
Listen to the kids.
On his foreign policy, I haven't developed it yet. I'm focused on protecting America first with our great military. Let's focus on ourselves first.
This is ridiculous. I'm sorry. Like, I'm all for like believing in yourself and like I could become president if I want. If you're running for president, like you have to have policy in place. Like, that's just the way it is.
Yeah, because I mean, he would be taking over January of 2021, right? And it's just like, okay, no policy whatsoever. I do agree with the notion that like there's a lot to focus on within the country, and we should be looking at, as Kanye had pointed out, like prison reform, healthcare reform, like education reform. Like, we have so many stagnant sectors of our country that really need like new perspectives, injections of cash. Like, the military budget probably should be like lessened by $1 billion that could be given to other things. Like, is it like $72 trillion or something goes to the military? Okay. Like, wild. But at the same time, just like completely lacking any foreign policy is, yeah, not inspiring.
Nope.
And then, like, do we really need to protect against anything? Like, I don't think Canada's invading. I don't think Mexico's invading.
I think we're pretty set.
On abortion, I am pro-life because I am following the word of the Bible. Which, one of those things, like, is he pro-life and that's just his stance, but he respects the rights of other people, so is it going to change anything? Or is he pro-life and one of his major policies, like with Trump, would be to repeal Roe versus Wade?
Well, the foundation of everything is steeped in religion, so I would assume it's policy.
Yeah, right. Have to kind of go that route. I'm being a political novice. I have to say with all humility that as a man, which maybe we're skipping over that too quickly because we're men, but like I would have major issues with that.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely all aboard like the right to choose. And right. I think it's fine if like religious wise, you're not about that. You don't want to do it for you and your family. But at the same time, I think the same way that you want your religious views to be respected, you need to respect the rights that other people have in that regard.
Yeah, completely agree.
I'm being a political novice. I have to say with all humility that as a man, I don't have all the pieces in the puzzle. As I speak to you for what a political campaign, a political walk, as I told you, because I'm not running, I'm walking, I'm not running. We the people are walking. We're not running anymore. We're not running. We're not excited. We are energized. Someone can say, hey, I got a brand new car for you. It's across the street. And you get so excited, you run across the street and get hit by a car trying to run to your new car.
I don't remember this quote.
That's how they control the black community, through emotions. They get us excited. We're so excited. But then for 400 years, the change doesn't truly happen. Which, 400 years coming up again, this is just another way of saying, like, there's been some form of slavery for 400 years.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting quote. I'd have to think about that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I do really like things of like him admitting that he doesn't have all the pieces in the puzzle and like having that humility. And that's something that he was saying in 2018 as he started talking more and more about politics. I think like TMZ stopped him outside of like a Qdoba, like some restaurant in Los Angeles. And he was just saying like, I don't have all the pieces, but I'm learning. Every time I say something, you can see that I'm coming back with better responses, like more context. Each time I speak up, like I'm hearing from other people and I'm learning and I'll get there. So I like that he still has this sense of like, yeah, I'm figuring things out and I'll continue to figure things out by walking, not running. Like the car metaphor is very nice. And I do think, as he pointed out in New Slaves and all throughout Yeezus, that and All Falls Down, not just the Black community, but really people in general through consumerism are being controlled by getting us excited about things. And these minor things we can own instead of the major things we can own.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're right. He's been talking about that his whole career and it's really evolved too. Again, this is a moment I'm thinking of his art. But that's the moment you've always been able to like concretely connect the artist with like the message that we see in his songs. And like, that's just been a constant for him. I mean, if Kanye did become president, I have to admit to you, world and Kanye fan community, I won't be voting for him. But if he does become president, I would be interested to see how he'd actually handle this, because I feel like it could be good.
Yeah, I think there's... Oh, we'll get to that.
Yeah. I don't even know what I'm saying.
Yeah. On the need for racial healing after George Floyd. Well, God has already started the healing. This conversation alone is healing and revealing. We all need to start praying and kneeling. So he started to get into a bit of a rap. Another bar after that, but when a rhyme comes together, I'm going to complete it. Not inside the lines created by organizations that we know as our reality. So we all need to start praying and kneeling, not inside the lines created by organizations that we know as our reality. The schools, the infrastructure was made for us to not truly be all we can be, but to be just good enough to work for the corporations that design the school systems. We're tearing that up. What we'll do is we're not going to tear up the Constitution. What we'll do is amend. Okay.
I guess that seems kind of vague to me. Like, I feel like I know what he's saying, but I don't know what he... I don't know specifically what he's saying.
Yeah, they... it seems like he's saying that he wants education reform.
Right.
But that we'll just amend the Constitution to work on, like, racial aspects rather than tearing up the Constitution altogether.
All right. Well, Con, if you want to come on the show and elaborate on this a bit, we'll have you.
Yeah. Yeah. And real quick aside, Dr. Awesome Gamer just tweeted at us an article from Hollywood Life that's Michelle Tidball, Five Things to Know About Kanye West's Running Mates. Mm. So she's a preacher and biblical life coach. She's 57 and runs the website Yerash, which is a Hebrew word meaning to seize or to inherit. She offers biblical life coaching for $65 per 50-minute sessions. Maybe we could hire her and be like, can you life coach us to doing an interview with Kanye West?
That'd be fantastic.
She lives in the same town where Kanye owns his 4,000-acre ranch. It's unclear how they know each other, but it's possible that they're neighbors. Michelle is based in Cody. She said in the past that she doesn't watch the news. Michelle also hosts teleconferences as part of her services as a preacher. She admitted during a recent session, according to Forbes, that she never watches the news. There's a good chance she doesn't even know yet she's running for vice president. She studied mental health and criminal justice in college. I have various degrees in mental health and criminal justice, she writes in her bio. I worked as a mental health therapist for 10 years and then shifted into life coaching. This seemed a good transition, helping people get unstuck in their lives using biblical principles and wisdoms, which you can see why she and Kanye would connect. Mm-hmm. And then she runs the nonprofit Abundant Ministries. It's a Bible study program. She also previously served as executive director of the Bright Futures Mentoring Program. I've been involved in almost all aspects of ministry, including speaking, pastoring, prayer, teaching, and the most time spent in bringing deliverance to those who are in bondage. My heart has always been to walk in maturity and to bring others into maturity to be about his business and see the completion of things he mandated before the foundations of the world. And that's the article.
Okay. I guess you could see why Kanye would pick her.
Yeah, she's definitely in the pocket of what he is currently looking to do.
And God forbid Kanye actually wins. Like, at least we finally get a woman vice president who isn't named Sarah Palin.
Oh, man. Could you imagine last week saying the phrase, God forbid Kanye actually wins? Like, it went from something that, like, I was curious about and, like, interested in to something where I'm just like, no.
Yeah. I mean, every time I've thought about it, too, like, I thought, like, well, it can't happen, actually. And then I'm like, well, Trump won.
I still remember that day.
Yeah.
It was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon where I was looking at results and was just like, wait, is this?
Is happening?
On Black History Month. Oh, one other thing, Black History Month. that's what he said. Oh, one other thing, Black History Month. That is torture porn, because when that comes up, what we do is we see. And by the way, if I get that vibe, that's the process. And we're going to a beautiful, uplifting, fun, creative process as people. As, wow, the Forbes website.
Typical,
is,
oh, I was going to say, like, the quote is a typical Kanye quote. It's kind of hard to follow.
The site just reloaded on me.
Yeah, that can happen to Forbes.
Okay. Okay. Uplifting, fun, creative process as a people, as America, collectively, and show the world how great we are. So here we go. Black History Month. Every year, they got to remind us about the fact that we couldn't vote. They meaning white supremacy construct. And I said that with the CT at the end. I knew what was I was talking about. Our minds are so much more infinite than what's coming across TikTok or Instagram, what's trying to influence our children and the next generation of who we are.
I guess mixed in there is an interesting idea that, again, I would love for a Black person to respond to. Like, I feel like that's the kind of quote that, like, somebody could actually dig into and get him to, like, more eloquently get across his point. And honestly, it's a weird area that I don't even know if I want to comment on. That's a strange quote.
I mean, I feel like I get where he's coming from in the fact that, like, I remember seeing in the film industry, so, like, a lot of Black voices saying, why do we always have to make slave movies or segregation or civil rights movies, right? Like, right. Why can't we just have, like, modern Black family romantic comedy? Like, why can't we have just, like, nice, like, Black coming of age story? What about, like, Black people in sci-fi in the future? Like, why does everything have to look back on a tortured past rather than looking at the empowered present or beauty of the present or even, like, empowered future?
Right.
And I feel like that's a similar complaint here. Like, Black History Month tends to look so much and focus so much on the negative aspects of the past that in a lot of ways it shackles discussion of the present and the future and the power that's in the present and the power that's in the future. And why not focus on those positive things rather than focusing only on the negative history?
That's all really interesting. I would love it to be said better and to have more context for it, but, you know, that's what we have.
Yep. On having COVID-19, chills, shaking in the bed, taking hot showers, looking at videos telling me what I'm supposed to do to get over it. I remember someone had told me Drake had the coronavirus, and my response was, Drake can't be sicker than me. Laughs.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's like a classic Kanye line.
And you know, it's like, it's kind of one of those dad jokes where, like, you could tell he's told this joke before. And is then laughing at his own joke, like classic dad behavior.
Yeah, like, he's not sicker than me, right? Right? No. But, I mean, it is, not to read, like, too much into something that's, like, just fun. But you think back to the Charlamagne the God interview, and Kanye talked about like jealousy that he had towards Drake, and then everything that emerged in the aftermath of that regarding like the conflict between Drake and Kanye and Pusha T and all these things. To see Kanye like have even a joke comparison to Drake just kind of, I don't know, is kind of part of that, I feel like. It's just an interesting tidbit.
Yeah.
On running in 2020, God just gave me the clarity and said it's time. You know, I was out there, ended up in the hospital. People were calling me crazy. I'm not crazy. Between all of the influences and the positions that we can be put in as musicians, you go on tour, you put out all these albums, and you look up and you don't have any money in your account. It can drive you crazy. Through all of that, I was looking crazy because it wasn't the time. Now it's the time, and we're not going crazy, we're going Yeezy. It's a whole nother level now. N-O-T-H-A.
I can only assume that a freestyle rap broke out at this point.
Yeah, right. I think Forbes published, too, like, 3 freestyle raps that Kanye did.
Yeah, I was listening to them, and one of them was actually, like, pretty good. Like, you could tell he was, like, thinking of a word to rhyme with and was, like, going slow. And then he, like, launched into this, like, rapid freestyle. It was pretty dope.
That's awesome. Okay. I'll have to catch those. I haven't listened to them yet. Huh. But this is interesting, too, because I feel like Kanye's gone back and forth about what happened in 2016. There have been times where he embraced that he had an episode and mm-hmm. needed treatment, and there are times where he has rejected that and gone back to either it was sleep deprivation or it was just the tour and the pressures of the time. It just kind of that back and forth on what his mental state is or how he categorizes what he's been dealing with.
Yeah, and we've actually taken a 24-hour break between recordings here, and there's been like news and rumors, well, I guess if you want to call them news from TMZ, news, but rumors that Kanye is currently suffering a manic episode, and that, and these are like sources from like the family, you know, the Kardashians, and that this is similar to what Kanye was doing in 2018, and that's, I don't know, it's really interesting like what Kanye's talking about here, because like there's a weird balance that happens between like actually talking about mental health and what happens to a person who experiences bipolar disorder and is going through an episode like this, and like whether or not like that classifies them as crazy, whether or not like Kanye's just spewing nonsense because he's having an episode, or that he's just a little more vocal than he usually would be, or and just kind of spitting out thoughts at a more rapid rate. Like, it's this weird balance that happens, and like this is again another moment where you kind of realize that, you know, media and the public in general doesn't really take mental health as seriously as it should.
Yeah, I mean, I think it shows kind of the curse of honesty as well, because the moment that somebody comes clean, like, we are excited when people speak out about their mental health and have like honest talks about mental health, right? Like, oh, how refreshing that they admit to depression, how refreshing that they admit that they have bipolar disorder. This is empowering for others. Kevin Love in the NBA, like Kanye with his bipolar disorder. I'm sure there's other examples of it that I'm just not thinking of at the moment. But then whenever something happens with those people, good or bad, I think people can bring it back to the mental illness or the depression and just point to that and either, I guess, accuse them of only that, which dismisses everything that they say, and not take them seriously with what's going on, which can be double-edged, right? Because mm-hmm. in some situations, it's like, okay, it really was a scenario where that wasn't them. It was an episode. But in other situations, it's just them, and people dismiss it outright just because there is a diagnosis. It's like once you've been deemed crazy, even if you say you're okay, no matter what you say, they'll still call you crazy. Like, oh, that's what a crazy person would say. And you're just left going, what can I do? This is a situation where Kanye could believe everything that he said in that interview and right. people just dismiss it outright because he admitted to having bipolar disorder. Or they might forgive everything just because of the bipolar disorder. It really puts it into a strange place that, like, most people don't know how to talk through, look at, grapple with.
I mean, yeah, and that includes you and I. And I think that's the importance of just, like, of listening and having context for everything and being empathetic, because Kanye could say something in this interview that you vehemently don't agree with. And you could see the language he's using and, like, form an idea of, like, who Kanye is. But we have to remember, like, what he's going through and what he's struggling with mentally. And that if you actually had a conversation with Kanye, who has historically been very open to conversations and changing his mind and gaining new information, there'd be more nuance to it. So, you know, an interview like this, where we're just getting little snippets of what he's talking about, and I assume there isn't a ton of pushback going on. Like, this is just Kanye's platform. So Randall's asking him questions and he's answering. It's, you know, this is just what you're getting.
Yeah, right. And I think I would think about this back to the TMZ, because that was one where, I want to say we famously, but I don't know how famously it is, but
it's pretty famous.
Relative, well, his, but our response to it, but, like, relatively famously, we've been on the bandwagon of everything that Kanye said at TMZ. How he said it was due to the manic episode he was going through. And when you look at the intent behind what he was trying to say with 400 years, when you hear about slavery for 400 years, sounds like a choice. With that versus how people took it, and him trying to talk about mental health and, like, present day modern slavery and mental enslavement, those things, you can kind of separate the manic episode from his views, especially because we have historical context from All Falls Down, New Slaves, and St. Pablo that kind of help us parse out what he was trying to say. But in a situation like this, as you're pointing out with language going on, there's some things that with his stance on abortion or vaccines, I don't know if the manic episode changes how he feels about abortion or vaccines.
Right.
And that's a situation where I think you can just kind of take him more that this is how he believes and what he believes, mm-hmm. and not look at the language so much as we did in the previous, like, TMZ period.
I guess the only other major difference here, though, is that, again, we're talking policy. So whether or not we can sit down with Kanye and get past, you know, like, him being ramped up like this, like, at the end of the day, he believes that, and you got to assume that he's going to try to institute some sort of Christian policy for the entire country.
Yeah, which politically would not be something that I could support. but we'll see.
Hey, denk dran, dass auch dein Immunsystem Hunger hat. Und probier's mal mit den Gesundheitszielen zur Ernährung in der App Aukana wieder. Hol dir Tipps, Rezepte und Challenges für dein gesünderes Ich. Jetzt die App Aukana wieder downloaden und loslegen. AOK Plus. Aus Liebe zur Gesundheit.
So it, I guess, is interesting that he just has this back and forth perspective on his own mental health and the labeling of what he deals with and the state that he's in at the time.
Yeah.
So on Joe Biden is the next section. A lot of times, just like political parties, they feel all blacks have to be Democrats. This man, Joe Biden, said, if you don't vote for me, then you are not black. Well, act like you didn't. Well, act like we didn't hear that. We act like we didn't hear that man say that. That man said that. It's a wrap. We gonna walk all the people. Jay-Z said it best. For the other candidates, I just gracefully suggest y'all bow out. Trump and Biden gracefully bow out. It's God's country. We're doing everything in service to God. But nobody but God no more. I'm in service of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and I put everything I get on the line to serve God.
Truly embodying On God, the song.
Yeah, right. And that's something where, like, I can respect that stance personally and just like how he's living his life. But again, when it comes to politics, yeah. like that's just something like a place I can't agree with or a policy platform I can't get behind.
Yeah. Strange.
Yeah. It's, but that also, it's the first time that he's used God's Country in like context of something, not just mm-hmm. albums coming out, God's Country, like we're hearing what that phrase means to him and saying like, this is God's country and like Trump and Biden, you need to bow out. Like everything needs to be in service to God. Right.
Yeah. It's kind of that weird language again of like, if he won the presidency, it would be because of God. It would be because God appointed him. Like, like I'm the only one that can really return us to God's country, which, again, like you said, I know what he's saying, but it's kind of problematic.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
More than kind of. Pretty problematic.
Yeah. Like, again, personally, fine. Okay. But, like, policy-driven, like, I just believe too much in separation of church and state to get behind that.
Mm-hmm.
On developing policies. Yeah. I know it's not here, but it's coming up. I don't know if I would use the word policy for the way I would approach things, which is a very Kanye way yes, of approaching things. I don't have a policy when I went to Nike and designed Yeezy and went to Louis and designed a Louis Vuitton at the same time. It wasn't a policy, it was a design. We need to innovate the design to be able to free the mind at this time. Going on one of those bars or freestyles.
Yeah, it's one of those moments where like part of me is like kind of fuck yeah, like I like the language, I like the idea, I like the mindset, the approach, but then like reality sets in and you realize like what politicians do and what policy is and how Kanye actually will, whether he wants to call it policy or not, like he's going to be doing things that affect the nation. So like, I guess call it whatever word you want. You're still going to like, you're the most important person in the world when you become president. And you just have to acknowledge that like you are designing policy for people.
Yeah. I think it comes back to just Kanye's view on labels and like the power of words. We saw him in 2018 with the dictionary going through and labeling words. I think it was orange if it was positive, yellow if it was negative. And he was kind of eliminating certain words he found to be too negative and finding words that he thought were more positive to use. And I can imagine, I think the same way that he's doing with, like, don't label me a Democrat, don't force this label upon me. It's something similar, even in this smaller instance of what policy means to him versus what design means to him. And policy is a word that doesn't inspire him as much as design. And when he thinks mm-hmm. about designing for America, that's much more interesting and exciting and in the vein of what he does, rather than just thinking about it as policy for America, which I'm actually thinking is kind of a cool aspect yeah. because Kanye's confidence and his ability to jump into various industries and just hit the ground running has always yeah. been something I've admired a lot. And I think that's something people struggle with. They get into a new position, they get some responsibility that's maybe outside of what they've known. And there's a lot of pressure that they feel that might cripple performance. And I wonder how much of that is because they start trying to operate under the labels that are unfamiliar to them or vocabulary that's unfamiliar to them. So they start thinking about things like, I need to think about policy now, rather than taking those things and putting them under the vocabulary that's already empowering and familiar to them. I'm not thinking about policy, I'm thinking about design. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. And I like that. Like, I think that's a really good approach. I think my reaction, my negative reaction to it was more that like, well, the things you'll be designing are things I don't agree with. So like really more what I'm reacting to is again, just like Kanye's actual policy, even if he doesn't want to call it that, but I love the approach.
Yeah. Yeah. Very much. Right. And that's one of the things that gets complicated talking about this stuff. I even had a Twitter conversation with someone where I retweeted something Charlamagne the God had talked about with the media and talking about Kanye's run for presidency and their talk about his mental health. And I was thinking about it from the perspective of just how the media has treated Kanye in general. Mm-hmm. And commenting on that and how they kind of exploit Kanye, use Kanye. And this guy that has written for Barstool Sports, he responded saying, like, well, I don't think it's exploit. He called and did an interview with Forbes, and now the media is covering it. Like, what's wrong with that? And it's like, there's nothing wrong with that specifically. It's just all the context kind of around it. And that's where your mind went in this situation too. Like, what he's saying here isn't that bad when you're just looking at it in and of itself. But when you're thinking about it in terms of the, like, the policies that he had already been talking about, like, you just view this in the context of that, and it's a completely different talking point.
Yeah, right.
On the Wakanda management model, a lot of Africans do not like the movie Black Panther and representation of themselves in ...Wakanda. I don't know if that's Kanye pausing or if that's them editing out things that he said. But I'm going to use the framework of Wakanda right now because it's the best explanation of what our design group is going to feel like in the White House. That is a positive idea. You got Kanye West, one of the most powerful humans. I'm not saying the most, because you got a lot of alien level superpowers, and it's only collectively that we can set it free. That's why I thought he was going to say, like, the alien party, you know?
Yeah, he's really on that kick.
Let's get back to Wakanda, Like in the movie in Wakanda, when the king went to visit that lead scientist to have the shoes wrap around her shoes. I feel like that has to be, like, they edited something out, right?
There's even more space between each of the dots of the ellipses. So, like, does that indicate something? I don't know.
Is that just formatting? Like, because there's sometimes in Google Drive or even in Birdie, as Travis and I both write for Forbes in the Birdie backend, where it'll sometimes elongate spacing to fit a line. Like, is that that? Or does that, like, symbolize, oh, the other ones were just pauses, but this one is an actual, like, jump in the quote?
I don't know. It's not AP style, I'll tell you that.
But let's get back to Wakanda. Like in the movie in Wakanda, when the king went to visit that lead scientist to have the shoes wrap around her shoes, just the moment of innovation that can happen, the amount of innovation in medicine, like Big Pharma. We're going to work, innovate together. This is not going to be some Nipsey Hussle being murdered. They're doing a documentary. We have so many soldiers that die for our freedom of information, that there is a cure for AIDS out there. There's going to be a mix of Big Pharma and holistic.
It's a lot to unpack there.
Absolutely a lot to unpack. Which, just overall, I think it's mentioning Wakanda is going to be something where some people roll their eyes. But I think, like with the policy design discussion, it's one of those things that gets back to Kanye takes inspiration from Wakanda and the idea of Wakanda. So he is going to use that as kind of this mental model that excites him. But the reality of how he would go about it would be something that probably more people would get on board with. He just likes to frame it in a way that people can relate to and think about, and something that's fun and exciting for him. So I don't think it's necessarily silly to make that connection, especially with how advanced Wakanda was. And it was presented as kind of this utopia of science and civilization. It would be great if we could bring any of those ideals to the forefront, especially focusing on science, though. It does talk about it's going to be a mix of Big Pharma and holistic, which I can already see that, like, some people being like, yeah, that makes sense to me, or other people being like, the word holistic rings some alarm bells.
I guess I, in general, you know, God forbid a world where Kanye becomes president, I would see this as kind of a strength of his to, and again, I agree, people would roll their eyes probably, but ultimately, the fact that he can, like, take this movie, which is, like, the seventh highest grossing movie ever, like, a movie everybody's seen, and use it as, like, this, as a design, as a model for what he wants to do, and in terms of, like, describing it to people and getting people on board and just putting them in the right mindset for what he means, like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, right. Though, and I like the idea of innovation, and we do need to innovate, like, stagnant areas. I think I had said that earlier, like, there's so many aspects of America that have stagnated, that Kanye coming in with the innovation and innovation mindset that he would have is exciting. I do think we need somebody with that vision. The last part of it, I'm not sure where the Nipsey Hussle murder comes in. I guess because Nipsey was trying to change things and he ended up getting killed. I don't know if that's like the intention behind that. And then going from that to soldiers that die for our freedom, and then into freedom of information, cure for AIDS.
It kind of just seems like he was running through a lot of things he wants to focus on.
Yeah, right. I mean, he has that style anyway of going kind of hyperlink. Like, this thing leads to this thing, leads to this thing.
Yeah.
On prayer in schools, I got to say, for most of the interview, I was kind of like, I don't agree with that. But this is really where it kind of like tilted for me.
Mm-hmm.
Just in terms of like my thoughts on Kanye's presidency. On prayers in schools, reinstate in God's states, in God's country, the fear and love of God in all schools and organizations, and you chill the fear and love of everything else. So that was a plan by the devil to have our kids committing suicide at an all-time high by removing God, to have murders in Chicago at an all-time high because the human beings working for the devil removed God and prayer from the schools. That means more drugs, more murders, more suicide.
Yeah, that's I'm with you, Chris. That one kind of hurts. I mean, I don't even know how to really respond to it. Like, it's tough enough reading it. I can only imagine if, like, Connie was standing in front of me saying that, like, just how much my energy would drop. Like, there's so many reasons that all those things happen, and trying to boil it down to something that simple and, in my mind, like, not related at all, like, I guess I don't even know what to say to something like that.
Yeah. I mean, I completely understand the personal notion that if people had more faith in their lives, then it might prevent them from like these tragedies from happening. But it's another thing to force like a specific faith on people.
Yes.
In those circumstances. So like, I can sympathize with the view that like, I would like to help people find something that keeps them from suicide or keeps from murder in Chicago. That's a point that I can get behind. Completely different to just say like it has to be the Christian God in school.
Right.
And it's been the devil removing him from school, because at that point you then start labeling anybody that's outside of that Christian purview of the world as working for the devil, which is again very antagonizing and makes for an us versus them, and makes it easy to be like, well, they work for the devil, so it doesn't matter if I exercise them. Not that Kanye would reach that point of like of violence against these people, but it allows for that mindset to flourish in others that might think like, I'm doing like God's work by getting rid of devils. It's just a very slippery slope when you start labeling people that way.
And I agree with all of that. I agree. It's totally antagonizing and divisive, but I think more than anything for me, like knowing Kanye and how much he inspires me and how thoughtful and intellectual and just like creative he is, like it just seems like a really banal take. Because, you know, in my mind, again, I'm not religious, so I view God as this thing that inspires you, that drives you to be better. And you can see God at whatever you see it in, whether it's like a mountain range or a beautiful movie or a Kanye West album, like whatever drives you to be that person, like that's the power of God, like that's what we're all chasing. So, and you're right, to boil it down to just this one thing, and if you're not this, you're that, that's not what Kanye's all about. Like, what is that shit?
Yeah, it's it feels just a very different energy,
it especially for like you and I, like we're not religious, and I guess just reading something like this from Kanye, like you feel other, like you feel on the outside, you feel like what Kanye's always fought against. It's a big bummer as a Kanye fan.
Yeah, I guess that's the weird thing too, because like Kanye has always fought against labels, and even right now continues to fight against labels. Like, I don't have to be a Democrat because of this. Like, you can't tell me who to vote for. You can't tell me what to be. But then if I agree that you shouldn't force kids to have God in school, am I labeled a devil then? Like, is it just another form of monolithic thought that I'm now being forced into?
Yeah. Sad stuff.
Yeah. On taxes, I haven't. So this is one of the things. I know there might be some people that, especially how we've talked about policy and like Kanye instituting like Christian policy, that might be thinking like, well, he may not do that. But this was a section where I was just like, oh, maybe he would do that. I haven't done enough research on that yet. I will research that with the strongest experts that serve God and come back with the best solution. And that will be my answer for anything that I haven't researched. I have the earplug in and I'm going to use that earplug, which on the one hand, that's typically, historically, this is the answer that I thought would make Kanye an interesting presidential candidate, in that we've talked before about how much he works with other people and looks to experts for advice and is willing to cede power and control and direction to those people because he respects their expertise. And I think a leader that can do that is powerful and someone that we've kind of been missing for a while. I mean, even Obama couldn't get around some of the roadblocks that were in his way. It would be nice to have somebody that just, I don't know, was energizing us forward in all these different areas. And I don't know if Kanye could do that, but I feel like he would have the approach that could do that. But then here, he is taking that thing and limiting it only to Christians. So the only people he'll listen to on the matter of taxes are experts that serve God. So,
I mean, yeah, you don't have to say more than that. It's just inherently problematic. And I mean, yeah, we've said it like a billion times in this interview. He's trying to institute policy, even if he doesn't want to call it policy, that we all have to follow, that's based in a religion that I don't follow. Like, it's just inherently a problem.
Yep. Like, what happens when it comes to him looking at mental health care and he's talking with experts that serve God? Are they going to take a much more scientific, like, based approach to mental health? Or are they going to take one that's derived in Christian teachings and faith? And what does that look like? I'm sure there are people, I know there are people, that balance their faith in science and faith in professionalism in a way that is like great and amazing, and does it affect others in the least? I feel like most of the people I've ever worked with and respected have more faith in their religion than I do, right? And I admire their work, but I think at the same time, when you start to only look to those people for things, it can be problematic.
Bei Action gibt es immer extrem niedrige Preise. Diese Woche 7 Paar Sneakersocken aus nachhaltiger Baumwolle nur 1,99 oder Palmolive Shampoo 350 ml nur 1,11 Euro. Angebote, die richtig glücklich machen. Für noch mehr extrem günstige Preise einfach in einer Action-Filiale vorbeischauen oder in der App stöbern. Action, kleine Preise, große Freude.
Yeah, and what happens when you look to that team for issues that affect women, affect homosexuals, transgender, like, it's... That's a slippery slope, man.
Yep. Very, very much so. Very, very much so. On China, when I become president, let me make some promises. The NBA will open all the way back up from Nigeria to Nanchang, and the world will see the greatest athletes play. The world will experience the change in their element. The money is going to come back. I love China. I love China. It's not China's fault, that disease. It's not the Chinese people's fault. They're God's people also. I love China. It changed my life. It changed my perspective. It gave me such a wide perspective. My mom, as an English professor, taught English in China when I was in fifth grade.
Well, that is a welcome approach to China. I will give him that.
Yeah, right? And yeah, Kanye's mom, there are photos of him in China when he was a kid, and I think he was there for a year. And it was a very impactful experience for him, just in terms of understanding the larger world and seeing something outside of Chicago and encountering a different language and different cultures. Every time I've heard him talk about China and his experience there, it's been very positive and glowing. I think the NBA thing refers to the fact that before the 2019 season, Daryl Morey, the general manager of the Houston Rockets, tweeted, "Fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong," as Hong Kong has been in a huge revolt against policies that were enacted by mainland China, because Hong Kong has had kind of its own governments and has kind of been a little bit more neutral despite still being part of China, which is why most American businesses that do business with China end up going through Hong Kong. There's all this stuff that makes it kind of a very delicate situation. So when Morey sided with Hong Kong, shit kind of hit the fan, and NBA China stopped allowing the NBA to be shown in its country and was going to pull all this money from it. And it makes up like a sizable amount of money for basketball players. And there was this big divide between our players going to stand with Hong Kong and the shit that's going on there when they want people to stand with them and the things that they think are wrong in America. And is there that solidarity, or is it a situation where, because it can affect the money, there was a lot of criticism of LeBron James kind of chastising Daryl Morey. It was an interesting way to start the NBA season. So I think Kanye is probably referring to that.
Mm-hmm. I will say, just this whole answer about China is another big stressor I have with Kanye. Because while on the surface it's nice, you know, I love China. Like, that was a huge reason, like, I've been so inspired by Kanye lately. You know, he's trying to squash all the beef he had of people. He's just trying to be positive. He wants to work with everyone. Like, there's something so loving and inviting about that attitude. And the idea of him being a politician and applying that, you know, on a wider scale, like, that's really attractive. At the same time, he's very negative about a lot of people, you know, like specifically Democrats. Like, he keeps grouping people into camps. And so, like, language like this about China just makes me, again, just kind of disappoints me, because it feels like there's no nuance to anything. Like, everything's extreme. Like, I love these people. These people are my enemy. Like, he looks at Democrats and the box they put him in, like, yeah, like, that's not good. But at the same time, like, he's not willing to look at China and, like, all the terrible things China's done to its people. Like, I just, again, like, if it's just Kanye and it's just his opinions, that's one thing. But, like, as the leader of the free world, like, I think I would just ask for a little more nuance to his views.
Yeah. I mean, that would be ideal, right? Because I feel like we currently have somebody in office that lacks that nuance, and it's exhausting.
Yes.
I would not want that again.
No.
Ugh. But that's I think that's a great point that's kind of emerging to both of us here, is how much labeling is being done by somebody that's very much against labels.
Yeah.
On capital punishment, thou shall not kill, I'm against the death penalty.
We agree on something.
Yeah, I think that death penalty has been a complicated subject for a long time. I do think there are probably more defensible uses of it than others. Like, somebody like Jeffrey Dahmer, if you were to tell me he killed 20 people, was a cannibal, like, rapist, and was getting the death penalty, I'd be like, yeah, that makes sense. As opposed to, like, a guy was 17 and in a carjacking and shot an old woman, and now he's going to get the death penalty. Like, that I find way less defensible, especially you have times where the death penalty, like, well, DNA said he didn't do it, but I'm going to kill him anyway. Like, that happens way too often. So, yeah, definitely against, like, how it's currently enacted.
Yeah. I mean, that's a nuanced issue, but I'm definitely just against it.
That's fair too. On police killings, one of my to-do lists is to end police brutality. the police are people too, to end laws that don't make sense. Like in the George Floyd case, there was a black guy that went to jail and it was his first day on the force. So if it's your first day on the force and it's your training day and this OG accredited cop with 18 violations already starts filing out, are you going to jump in front of that person and lose your job that same day? Especially in this climate when 40,000 people lost their jobs. This man was put in a position where, and also he probably didn't realize that the cop was going to take it that far. He probably was so scared, in shock, paralyzed, like so many black people. I'm one of the few black people that would speak openly like this.
Yeah, I guess this is another case where, like, I want to scream at Kanye and say, like, that's not a policy. Like, when we're looking at the wide case of police brutality and whether or not we defund police and how we fix all the problems that are going on with the police force, like, you noting this one little story doesn't really help. In terms of, like, design, like, okay, like, it's a good... I understand what he's getting at, and, like, this is, like, he's trying to think of, like, the model that could... But, I mean, ultimately, like, this isn't an answer. This isn't policy. Like, this isn't something anybody can really latch onto to, like, be excited about and vote for him for.
Yeah, it's definitely, like, a rough concept, and I guess it doesn't even address really police brutality. It addresses more just like police accountability and looking at the unfair treatments, or his view, unfair treatments of an officer that was involved in like the George Floyd murder. And I do think he's right in saying he's one of the few black people that speak openly like this. And this is taking nuance to the topic, right? Instead of lumping everybody in, look at this guy's specific situation. It's just, of all the places to go with the conversation of police brutality, why to this point? And why is this the thing that like jumps out to you? Is it just because, oh, I guess I could see it because it's the black cop getting imprisoned and judged this harshly for something, and maybe there's a desire for some leniency there, but it feels very pointed and not relevant to the larger discussion as a whole right now, right?
Yeah. I mean, hit the nail on that.
On his other priorities, clean up the chemicals. In our deodorant, in our toothpaste, there are chemicals that affect our ability to be of service to God.
The title of this section should have been On Chemicals.
Right. I feel like On His Other Priorities is kind of like a backhanded.
I guess like maybe that he asked the question, what are your other priorities? And that's all Kanye said.
Oh, yeah, that's actually very true.
Which I could see happening.
And this is something that actually I feel like people agree with, because I mentioned this on Twitter and people are like, have you looked into it? And I remember when I was in high school, we had two gym teachers, like a guy and a girl. And the woman, Mrs. Lauer, I think her name was, at one point gave us this big like life lesson class. So we just had to sit on the floor. And she started telling us all these things that we needed to know for our health and safety. Like 20 minutes of which was like how to escape or deal with like dangerous situations. So like putting your keys in between your fist, or if you're walking at night and see somebody on the road that you don't trust, like you should cross the street, like stuff like that. Like, and we're 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds. Mm-hmm. But one of them was that deodorant was bad for you, that there are chemicals in antiperspirant deodorant specifically that lock in chemicals in your body instead of allowing them to escape, and that causes cancer. But she said the same thing with black socks, that you should only wear white socks because socks with like a certain chemical dye will also give you cancer, and also hot dogs will give you cancer.
I have to say I'm new to this conversation, so I don't have much to add.
Yeah. I think the deodorant one covered, you can't get certain chemicals out of your body or certain things that your body would be expelling, so they're trapped. And then toothpaste, somebody pointed out that apparently fluoride in toothpaste can cause a calcification of the pineal gland. I'm amazed that I just remembered that. And the pineal gland is associated with melatonin and melatonin production, which is associated with sleep and like circadian rhythm. So the more calcification that there is, the more it offsets your melatonin, which can cause issues with sleep and all kinds of mental health stuff.
You're going to be head of the chemical committee for Kanye's cabinet, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And I don't know how much we should buy into that, not buy into that. But Kanye is definitely buying into that.
I hope you're on about the hot dog thing, right? By the way, because a lot of businesses in Chicago are going to go out of business if that's true.
It's the nitrates, apparently.
It's not all the different animal parts in there.
That could have something to do with it, but it's, I guess apparently it's high in nitrates, and nitrates have been linked to cancer-causing agents.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Though I say that, but I don't know how scientific that is versus how like Facebook mom that is, right?
Yeah. I don't
know. On his campaign slogan. Well, my second album is called Late Registration. I got a rap.
I assume he stole the tweet for that joke.
Right? Because people were talking about that.
Yeah, I just remember you tweeted somebody mentioned that and I got a bunch of likes and everything.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if it was Sheesh or All of Hip Hop or like Excite Bike.
Or damn, like Charlie. I'm jealous of whoever has Excite Bike as their handle.
Might have been Charlie Heat. I can't remember, but
I think it was Charlie Heat.
It was Charlie Heat, wasn't it?
Sorry if it wasn't. We're trying to give you credit. We're trying our best.
He says, I got a rap ... which again is that them taking out. The other thing is my campaign is Kanye West, yes. Not yep, not yeah, yes, 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 ... When I'm president, let's also have some fun. Let's get past all the racism conversation. Let's empower people with 40 acres and a mule. Let's give some land. That's the plan.
I guess that's not like new rhetoric from him, like getting past the racism conversation. Like he keeps saying like there's no longer racism, there's classism.
Yeah.
Still, again, I would love for him to have this conversation with a black person because I think there's just a ton of nuance there that's not being gotten into.
Yeah, absolutely. Just like challenging rather than just, I don't know. What's the deeper perspective on it? What's the like the next level of thought behind this that we don't get to hear because he's not being asked the question? I saw people online that were really upset about let's get past all the racism, and I've seen people that say like no, this is like actually helpful, like both sides, which
right.
I don't have a personal stance on it so much as like I'm curious about the points that others have on it. But I do think the idea of like, let's empower people and let's give them land and like, let's help people have more than just stuff is actually very good.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally with him on that.
One second. Sorry. Okay. Archer started chewing on something that he should have.
It's a dark stew.
Packing material. All right. Well, that's the whole interview, start to finish.
We did it. And it took just as long as I thought it would.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much there. And I think overall, like, it's one of those things where tone won't make up, or like language won't make up for a lot of the stances that I think we disagree with, which I think it did in 2018. Like, the stances were, to me, then at least a little bit more understandable from where he was coming from. And the language was a bit more of the problem. But here it's just, yeah.
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 Well, Chris, I got to say, it's going to be a busy time for us between now and November, whenever the election is.
Yeah. Seeing how Kanye maneuvers from this interview, how much he dives into the campaign, what he says and does, we'll be covering it all in detail. So you can trust that.
And hopefully talking about music at some point.
Yeah. And the music will be interesting. Like, this interview, I don't know how much of this will inform the music, or how much of this like points to what the music might be talking about. Like, you look at Wash Us in the Blood, and I feel like that's such a cool song. And right. That it is disconnected in ways from things that he said in this interview. But I do wonder if the rest of the album could be way more pointed and political. Almost like I know the verse on Ego Death was written a couple years ago, but is it going to be getting more into that political scape the way that the verse on Ego Death did?
Time will tell.
Time will tell indeed.
And it'll move slowly as it tells it, and it'll be painful.
Yeah. Well, any final thoughts?
No. I guess I do want to reiterate that, like, we are going to get back to music eventually. I mean, it is what it is. Kanye is not making music right now. He's running for president. Hopefully we get music, but I don't know. I just hope we can. We are a lyrical analysis of Kanye West, and I want to keep it that way as much as I can.
Yeah, well, we don't always get what we want.
Yeah, and we don't always get what we need.
That's true. Well, until next time, I'm tired, you're tired.
That's the new outro for us.
Yeah, right. Now we got to keep some positive energy going.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Well, then if we're going to keep it positive, stay wavy.
And loopy.
And I am. And they ask me, I tell them. Raise your glasses to the sky. This is the last call for alcohol.